You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Throwback. Hello, Throwback Thursday. You're listening to The Rewind. All right, so we're going to start off with our first segment of the night. I'm going to call this segment Then and Now. And this segment's pretty much going to be showcasing a celebrity from the past and going through their biographies about from where they are to where they are today. So the celebrity for this week I chose is Mr. Jesse McCartney. So Jesse McCartney was born April 9th, 1987 in Westchester, New York to Ginger and Scott McCartney. He started performing in community theaters at age 7, and then he joined the national musical tour for The King and I by the time he was 10 years old. In 1998, he sang with Sugar Beats and was part of their background vocals in three different albums. And in 1999, he joined the American pop boy band called Dream Street and was a member with them till about 2002. He sang as one of their many, with the five boys in the band. He released his first solo EP in 2003 with three singles, Don't You, Why Don't You Kiss Her, and Beautiful Soul. In 2004, he also sang a duet with Anne Hathaway on the Ella Enchanted soundtrack called Don't Go Breaking My Heart. And his debut solo album titled Beautiful Soul was being worked on for the 2 years that he had been out of Dream Street, and was finally released in September of 28th, 2004. His first album went platinum and hit number 16 on the Billboard charts. And in 2005, McCartney won about 6 Kids Choice Awards at the Nickelodeon's Kids Choice Awards for 2005. He went on his first headlining tour in May of that year, and it ended in about September. And after that, he announced that he was going on tour with the Backstreet Boys throughout Europe and Australia through the summer of 2005 after the ending of his own personal tour. He also started to work in television with TV shows, and he actually was a head character in the hit American drama TV series Sunderland from 2004. It started in 2004, and ran for about 2 seasons with a total of 66 episodes. Now, Jesse played Brayden in the series, and what happened in the series was that his parents had died in a tragic car accident in Kansas, and his brother and sister and himself had to move to California from Kansas in order to be taken care of by his aunt. So he started doing a little acting around then, and in 2006 he was in a movie called Keith, and that movie showcased the life of burnout and a cheerleader trying to become friends with this burnout and ends up falling in love with him, and it has a tragic plot twist, which I will not spoil for you guys, but I would recommend watching that movie. It's pretty good. So as he was filming Keith, he was working on his second studio album called Right Where You Want Me, which had more mature lyrics than the first, and he had grown since his 15-year-old musical debut. And so Right Where You Want Me ended up reaching number 14 on the Billboard 200 charts, with the single, also called Right Where You Want Me, got as far as to hit a lot of radio stations in 2006 and was about number 16 as well on the Billboard single charts. Now, McCartney also signed with a ton of Disney soundtrack contracts. Just to name a few, there was Cinderella Story, Lizzie McGuire, Total Party House, Animal Thing, Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement, and Raven Simone's own personal That's So Raven soundtrack. those are just a couple. I mean, he did about 10 or 12 of them, and like Radio Disney Jams, Disney Mania. There's just so many to list that I'm not going to throw you all that information, but that's just a little bit about what he did for Disney. So in 2007, he started to write music, and he actually co-wrote a hit single that was sung by Leona Lewis called Bleeding Love. And while he was writing her music, and as well as other artists, he was working on his third studio album. It was released on May 20th in 2008, called Departure. It hit number 14 on the Billboard charts, with the single called Leaving hit number 10 on the charts and went platinum. Now, Leaving was the biggest hit single that Jesse McCartney had ever released, which was just phenomenal. It was the one to reach the highest on the charts and also left a big stain on our hearts. It's this corny line, but that's exactly what it says here. That was with an interview with Rolling Stones magazine that McCartney did. So he also started a headlining tour that year with Jordan Sparks from American Idol. And the tour lasted from about August to September. So in 2009, he actually re-released his fourth album, Departure, but it featured four new singles: Oxygen, Crash and Burn, In My Veins, and Body Language. He also had a remix featured in there of a single that he had released a long time ago called How Do You Sleep, which surprisingly now featured rapper Ludacris. I heard it this morning and I was just blown away. I was totally thrown aback and did not know that he had re-released that. So his fourth album was called Have It All, and it was released in 2014. Fourth album was called Technicolor. My bad. So that album he'd actually been working on since 2010. It was ready for release, but due to a bunch of manager and owner issues with Hollywood Records at the time, it had waited and sat for 4 years before it was released. Not before he can get a single out, though. The single Shake was released in 2010. But the album didn't come out for another 4 years, so it didn't really have a lot of hype or playtime on the radio. Now, Jesse McCartney, like I said, was a big actor and was known for his role in the children's movie Lifetime version of Alvin and the Chipmunks. He played the youngest chipmunk, Theodore, who's personally my favorite, little chunky, chubby cheek Theodore. And I really just love Jesse McCartney. Following his career since I was a little kid, I know I was there since Beautiful Soul all the way to Shake It and all sorts of other things in between. Jesse McCartney was like my childhood crush, honestly. I loved his blonde hair, blue eyes. It was just, come on. Any girl was like, yes, Jesse McCartney all the way. So it didn't help that he had Voice of an Angel either. So wasn't too bad. I have actually a guest DJ with me this week, DJ Shortstep. Why don't you say something for the crowd?
Hey, everybody. Thursday night.
There you go. All right. We're doing pretty good. I'm going to just talk to you a little bit about Jesse McCartney. What do you have to say about him?
I really don't know. All I could think of was when he was in his prime, that like shaggy haircut, like a bowl haircut type of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Jesse McCartney had that bowl haircut, that 90s, early 2000s skater boy hair that was just melted girls' hearts.
Yeah, and then I just was in shock when I found out that he was part of Dream Street, because I actually bought the album and I didn't even know it until like I saw he got popping and all of a sudden looked at it again and it's like, you look familiar, sir.
Yeah, definitely. I know, I didn't know he was on Dream Street until I actually heard a song from them when I was little. you could tell there's like a little bit slight distinguishable feature in his voice.
Definitely.
And like the one song that I will never forget from them is It Happens Every Time.
Oh my gosh, I love that song.
Yeah, so that song like literally is embedded in my brain. And I just know that Dream Street sang that because in the lyrics it actually says down on Dream Street. As yeah. really corny and 12-year-old lyrics are, you know?
Yeah, it's like marketing placement right there. Yeah.
Product placement, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it is. I thought it was really funny how they threw their band name in there, and I didn't know that the band that sang that song was Dream Street until like years after, when I just happened to like be scrolling through my old CDs, you know, because we had CDs when we were kids. I had all the Disney CDs, and I was like, what's Dream Street? Oh, they sing It Happens Every Time. Oh, that makes sense. And it was just the funniest thing because they were like a wannabe Backstreet Boys NSYNC kind of group.
Before puberty.
That's exactly what it was. They were totally a before puberty Backstreet Boys NSYNC group, and it was hilarious watching them. Like, I was watching their music video today. Some of their moves were on point, I must say.
I remember years after when I rediscovered the CD, I was like, oh, let me YouTube this. And they had a music video. I just watched it. It's like, this is the corniest, cheesiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All the preteen girls. Like, oh gosh.
Oh my gosh, yes. I totally get you on that. I know. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at it today and I was like, I used to swoon over this kind of stuff. Now I'm like, God, what was I thinking?
Cringing.
cringing in a corner going, this is horrible. What? Why? But in all in all, Jesse McCartney has just, he's always kind of been that background guy. But when he comes out, you're like, hey, Jesse McCartney. Hello. You're cute.
It just kind of popped in my head. He's like the Leonardo DiCaprio music.
Ouch. Yeah, he's good at what he does, but doesn't get the credit. Ouch. That's a little bit of a burn towards Leonardo DiCaprio.
Definitely.
Oops. Yep. All right, so I'm going to wrap this first segment up, actually, with a break. We're going to play you a song here at this break, sung by Mr. Jesse McCartney. It's his first single that he released that became popular. You're listening to The Rewind here on Throwback Thursday. I'm DJ Throwback. This is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and you're beautiful. So you're the one I wanna chase. You're the one I won't hold. I won't let another minute go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul. You are something special to you. I'd be always faithful. I want to be what you always needed. Then I hope you'll see the heart in me. I don't want another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul. So you're the one I want. just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul. You're the one I want to chase. You're the one I want to hold. I won't let another minute go to waste. I want you and your soul. I want another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul. Oh,
welcome back, time travelers. We're going to head into our second segment of the night. I have DJ Shortstep with me. Say something, Shortstep.
Say something.
Very funny. All right. So this second segment is called I Played With That. And in this segment, I pretty much discuss some toys or games that kids used to play when I was little or when other people were young. So the first game that we're going to play today is called, it's MASH. And now what MASH is, it's a two-player paper and pen or pencil game that predicts your future. Ooh, future.
Dun-dun-dun.
So pretty much it's an abbreviation for mansion, apartment, shack, and house. Yes, very clever, I know. So pretty much player one will come up with categories such as cars, jobs, spouses, stuff like that. And player two will fill in three answers for each category. And then after the categories have all been filled out, player one will count, will start making tallies on a piece of paper while player two, when they say stop, they will stop tallying, count up the tallies, process of elimination, all the categories, and based off of your process of elimination, whatever is left, your future will be predicted. So I have Shortstep here with me today, and we're going to play some MASH. We've already filled out some categories here. I'm going to ask her some questions based on the categories and see what she wants to fill in here. So the first category is cars. What are your three dream cars?
Okay, so the Mini Cooper.
Okay.
The Jeep.
Ooh, I like Jeeps.
And then a long time ago, I used to really like the... was it the... it's not a Chevrolet. I'm trying to think of... I'm blanking out on the car. It's really bothering me at this point. Okay. I was obsessed with it for like 2 years.
Okay. Pick any car. First car comes to mind right now.
Bug.
Okay. So you're going to put a bug. Okay. Next category is jobs. What are your three dream jobs or one really ridiculous job that you can care less about? Like janitor. We're going to put janitor down here as for one. And then... pick two dream jobs.
Okay, so I would say event coordinator.
Ooh, nice.
Architect.
Ooh, look at you, high roller. Okay, so the next category is pets. Name three different types of animals that you want, like dog, cat, iguana.
Okay, let's see.
Go.
Of course it'll be a dog.
Dog, okay.
Of course it'll be a cat.
Okay, cat.
And then I would say a hedgehog.
There you go. Ooh, a hedgehog. Those are little cuties.
Yes.
Did you just pet them? They're so fluffy.
No.
All right. So, how... okay, give me five... no, six random numbers.
11.
Mm-hmm.
7.
Okay.
3.
Mm-hmm.
28.
I need two more numbers.
Oh, two more. Okay.
Yeah.
93.
Okay.
57.
Okay, cool. So, if you were going to have pets, what would you name them? Give me three different names for pets.
I'm going to steal a friend's one. So, we got Edgar, Al, and Poe.
Al, Poe. Alan. Edgar, Alan, Poe. That's funny. It's clever. I like it. So, okay. We're going to go to guys now. So pick three guys. Either two that you... Okay, we're going to go with two you want to marry and one you would never, ever want to be stuck with. Celebrities.
Okay, let's see.
So, like, Justin Bieber, Johnny Depp, and Leo DiCaprio or something.
Okay, so Rob Madden. Mm. Have you played Rob Stark?
Oh, Rob Stark from the Game of Thrones.
Right now, because this is, like, very interface thinking. Okay, Kit Harington. Just continue with the Game of Thrones thing.
Kit Harington? Ooh, someone's into this Game of Thrones.
Okay, someone that you don't
someone
like.
You really would never, ever want to marry, but if it happens, it happens.
Like Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. Oh, he's such a cutie.
I'll give it to the other people, but for me, it's like he could squash me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's like, what, 6'3", 6'4", big buff guy.
He's already over a foot taller than me.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next category. So, okay, give me six different colors.
Purple, okay. Yellow, blue, gray, brown, orange,
and that's it. Perfect.
Awesome.
Okay, so give me three names, like random. They can be as random as apple or potato, and like, so these are going to be kids' names. So give me two names you'd want and one you really would never ever want.
I don't think into my future like some people.
Okay, so give me just three random names. One you don't like. Like if somebody were to come up to you and say, "Hello, my name is Harriet," or something.
Oh gosh. Add that one.
Harriet. Okay.
Not that one. Eddie.
Eddie.
And then
Eddie.
Jude.
I like Jude. All right. Now give me three places for a honeymoon. It can be like Spain or it can be like Antarctica.
Okay, so Ireland.
Ireland, okay.
Sydney, Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, let's see.
Okay, pick a
Amsterdam.
Place.
Amsterdam, there you go.
Pick a place you do not want to go.
Oh, I do not want to
yes.
go.
Yes.
What's the smoggiest place on Earth?
Los Angeles.
It's like,
okay, so like the place that I probably would never ever be caught dead for my honeymoon.
Okay.
Probably like, I don't know.
The most northern part of Canada.
I don't know. I think snuggling in cold weather wouldn't be too bad. I mean, I'd probably pick like the middle of the U.S. where there's nothing.
Like Sahara Desert. There you go.
Oh, the Sahara Desert. Perfect. All right. So now I'm going to tell you go, and you're just going to say stop. All right?
Okay.
Ready? Go.
Stop.
Okay. Let
That's
me count.
Fast.
Sorry. Let me count up these tallies. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13,
You just 14. Tally is so fast.
14 tallies. All right. So now I'm going to start breaking these down. The way each I'm going to do is count in each category. So... let's start with the cards.
Huh, I played differently than you did then.
A lot of people have been telling me that today because I've been playing this with like four or five different people. I like to count in each category. A lot of people count using the whole
thing.
Game sheet. And I'm like, but that's like a lot to count. And I like to do each category first so that way I can like get through the little category numbers and like great first and foremost.
You're very organized.
Yes,
I must say.
I have a system. Exactly. So a little more about MASH. When me and my friends used to play, we used to sit in middle school at lunch. And pretty much we'd go and sit at middle school and we'd play this out of recess during our lunchtime. We would definitely start playing games, and it would be such a crazy spiral. The boys would always come over to us and be like, "What are you doing? Why are you being so secretive?" Because we'd pick, of course, the boys in our grade, and the boys that we put on the paper would be the ones that came over and were like, "What are you guys doing? Why aren't you sharing with us what you're doing? You're being secretive. It's not okay." And it's just like, okay, fine. Here, you want to see? Come play. So we'd sucker the guys into coming and playing with us, and it would be really funny because they'd pick girls like you know, Megan Fox or Mila Kunis for their wives. And then we'd be like, no, you have to put an ugly one in there too. And then they'd go, okay, fine. We'll put, like, I don't know, some ugly teacher at our school. And it would be really funny because they'd always land on the teacher. Because, you know, we're girls. We manipulate the game. It's our game, our rules. And they'd always get really mad at us. But it was fun. And it was a really funny way of, like, predicting the future. I remember even going on the internet sometimes on, like, certain websites for, like, Barbie or something. They have, like, a MASH inputter where you can input stuff and play MASH online. And it was just, like, one of the coolest things to me is being able to, like, play MASH online. So I'm going to let... So I'm going to finish tallying these up. And while I do that, I'm going to talk to you guys about another game that I used to play with when I was a kid. It was called Dream Life. And what this game is it's a video game. It was created by Hasbro. And pretty much what it is for girls. And it's... What it is you get to make a little avatar of yourself or however you want. You can do whatever kind of hair and clothes you want. And then you get to determine how smart, athletic, creative, funny, and outgoing you are. And then you get to live your life in, like, high school or pretty much school. So you would go buy clothes, go to school, make a best friend that either looks like you or your best friend, and you can get to pick her clothes and stuff. Then you get to do all sorts of fun activities, like you get to do gymnastics or soccer, cheerleading, something cool like that. And then if you needed money for clothes, because you go shopping like every day in the game, you could get a job through the school, like a babysitting job or something. And it was pretty cool because you get to like make a mock life of yourself. And it started in the fall, just like school starts. And you'd wake up at 7 in the morning, go to school, get out of school by like 3 o'clock, and then from 3 to 10 p.m. you can do whatever you wanted. You can go visit your best friends, you can go to the party, and you can go to the mall. It was just the coolest thing because you were like, yeah, I wish my life was like this. I wish I can go wherever I wanted after school, even though I'm like 8 years old. It was just the funniest thing. So it kind of gives girls a little bit of fun and imagination for me. That's what it did for me. And it only goes through three seasons, so it's fall, winter, and spring. And once spring is over, then it goes into summer, and you don't even get to see summer because it ends the game, and it gives you like a summary of your life, all your achievements, and all sorts of stuff. So it's pretty cool how you got to see all the stuff you did. And the fun feature of the game is, like, you get to have crushes on boys and talk to the boys and go out with the boys. And even sometimes at parties, you can dance with them. It was just like, ooh, I could have a boyfriend, la, 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 la. 8-year-olds thinking, I'm so cool. I have a dream life boyfriend. This is just the best. And I remember that ran through my head a couple times, saying it out loud. Now it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oops, you're here listening. Other people are listening. Oh, well. I'm an open book, what can I say? So, it was really fun game that I used to love playing with when I was a kid. And I know that it was just awesome. So, it was just the funnest thing ever to play with as a kid. And I loved developing crushes. It was my thing on the game. And I had like 4 or 5 crushes, and then like if you hung out with them enough, you'd get little stars and you'd become best friends. And for me, I was like, yeah, you became my boyfriend, bro. La 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 la. It was just really, really fun. I wish I would have brought that game to college with me. Sometimes I feel like I'm bored in my dorm room and I should really just knock it out. So I'm just finishing up here, tallying up my DJ Short Stuff's MASH future. I'm going to let you guys know what it is. So, Short Stuff, you are going to be a janitor.
Yes.
Woo!
The ultimate job.
But on the upside, you're going to be rich.
Woo!
And you're going to live in a mansion.
Yay!
You must like cleaning or something, man. So, you're going to marry Kit Harington of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Not going to divorce him. You're also going to drive around town in your cute little Mini Cooper. You're going to have 7 hedgehogs named Poe.
Ooh, 7?
7.
That sounds so cute.
Yeah, 7 of them running around your house, all of them named Poe. I don't know how you're going to discern them, but you will. You're also going to have 11 boys. All of them are going to be named Eddie. Oh, and at your wedding, you're wearing orange. That's your color of your dress, girl. Rocking it. Oh, but at least it won't clash with your husband, who's wearing a nice gray suit.
Yes.
And for your honeymoon, you're going to hit up Sydney, Australia. It's going to be pretty awesome. So I don't say you have a bad life. I mean, other than the 7 hedgehogs and 11 boys, you've got a pretty decent life here. What do you have to say for that short stuff?
Good thing we have a mansion to fit all of those
animals and kids.
Yes.
I think I agree with you on that one. I thought that was pretty funny. But at least you have a nice arm candy next to you to celebrate after you come home from cleaning whatever the hell you clean because you're a janitor.
I'm not complaining.
I wouldn't complain either. This isn't a bad life. So that's going to wrap up this second segment here on Penguin Radio on the Rewind. I'm going to play you some more Jesse McCartney. So stay tuned for my third segment coming up after this little break. You're listening to DJ Throwback here on the Rewind at Throwback Thursday on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Jesse McCartney, your voice is beautiful. Welcome back. This is DJ Throwback here on Throwback Thursday. You're listening to The Rewind. I am going to head into my third segment of the night. I call this segment Bring It Back, where I talk about old TV and movies that I loved from when I was a kid or that I just watched that are old and I think people should start watching them or they should play them on TV again. So the first show I'm going to talk to you about is Boy Meets World. I loved this show growing up. It was about it was an American TV sitcom, and it was about Corey Matthews, and it followed his life from middle school all the way through college. It was broadcasted on ABC on their TGIF Fridays, and it aired in 1993 and lasted all the way up to 2000. They also have a sequel that they just started developing, and this recently, last year, 2014, on Disney Channel. It's called Girl Meets World, and it goes over the life of Corey's daughter and how she goes through her middle school years and all that. So it's pretty cool because Corey's all grown up and now he's got a daughter, and it's kind of weird looking at it now and going, wow, I watched that when I was a kid, and now, you know, some people that are older than me, by a couple years, that have kids, they're like, oh, my kids watch Girl Meets World, but I watch Boy Meets World, which is just mind-blowing to me. Anyways, Corey Matthews was played by Ben Savage, and him, along with his best friend Sean Hunter, who was played by Ryder Strong, got into quite some mischievous actions throughout their lives. So they were always caught by their teacher, Mr. George Feeney, who was played by William Daniels, and Mr. Feeney also happened to be Corey's neighbor. So it kind of played a little bit of a funny role in the entire sitcom. So Corey had an older brother named Eric Matthews, who was played by Willie Friedle, and a younger sister, Morgan Matthews, who was played by Lily Wilkinson. So pretty much Corey goes through middle school, getting into trouble, because him and his brother don't understand each other, and the entire time are freaking out about what they're going through, because Eric's going through puberty and Corey doesn't even know what that is yet, and Eric's all into girls. Corey's just like, I don't know, girls are like rocket science, I don't get them yet. And it's really funny seeing their interactions in the first early seasons, but as the later seasons come on, Corey meets the girl of his dreams, Miss Topanga Lawrence, who is played by Danielle Fishel. Topanga is Corey's dream girl, and Corey just swoons over her every time he sees her. She's a little nerdy girl, and it's pretty cool how they got together and how the whole show develops around Corey and Topanga's relationship and how rocky it is. And Corey pretty much for like two or three seasons just pined over her. And she had no idea. She thought they were the best of buddies, and her and Sean and Corey were all best friends. And the day that they got together, it was funny because Sean actually asked her out. And Corey was so angry at Sean, but then after he found out Sean was actually only asking her out to set up Corey and Topanga, he was like, all right, I can forgive you, sir. Sean was really, in all honesty, just fed up with hearing Corey go, Topanga this, Topanga that. He was just like, all right, I'm stopping this now. You're going to ask her out. If you're not going to ask her out, I'm going to ask her out. And you're going to do it when she goes out with me and declare your undying love for her. Please, Corey, just get it out. And it's exactly what happened. I thought it was a really funny show. As they got older, Mr. Feeney also moved up with them throughout middle school and high school and eventually retired once they hit college. But he still remained Corey's neighbor, or Corey's parents' neighbor. So as they got older, Eric graduated high school, moved in with Sean and Corey's high school English teacher, who later on in the show happens to be Sean's half-brother, which was pretty surprising. So they happen to all become best friends and start hanging out. As it comes time for Corey, Topanga, and Sean to graduate high school and go off to college, Topanga gets accepted to Yale but declines her acceptance because she wants to be with Corey, and they get engaged and married right before they go off to college together. It's crazy because you watch them go through early marriage as well as college, which
I know I'm in college now, and getting married would be is like the last thing on my mind. I'm the next thing on my mind is what am I going to eat for dinner, or like, do I have any midterms coming up? Marriage is far, far away from my mind. But not to Corey and Topanga. They were lovers from the beginning and lovers till the end. And I loved the way the show ended. It was very heartfelt. And it ended with Corey, Sean, Topanga, and Eric all sitting in their old sixth grade classroom with Mr. Feeney, telling him how much he meant to them and how much they love him and the big role he played in their lives and shaping them to be the people that they are today. Because Mr. Feeney was like their moral compass. He did guide them through a lot of their stuff. As much as they hated him, they also loved him. Same goes for Mr. Feeney. He hated the kids, but deep down really loved them. So that's a little bit about Boy Meets World. So I have DJ Shortstop here with me. Did you ever watch Boy Meets World as a kid?
I did, just not religiously as probably some other people would watch it.
Yeah, I totally understand. It's just there was so much stuff to do as kids that TV was not a big priority, right?
Nope.
Yeah. So what did you think of the whole Corey Topanga relationship?
I really don't know what to say. Like, I think it's kind of the ideal relationship that a lot of people want. Like, having from knowing each other, friends from like middle school, and then all this kind of growing up together and being a relationship that... like the one and only relationship, and they end up getting married.
Yeah, like an everlasting, eternal relationship. And I can totally see why people would want that. But I mean, for me, would you get married coming straight out of high school?
No.
I didn't think so. I wouldn't either. It's just too much on your plate. As it is, you got to start fresh and then have to deal with a new wife or husband. It's like, whoa, this is a lot to handle. But, we're going to move on anyways from Boy Meets World. Recommend it. Check it out. They have it on DVD and also on iTunes. If not, YouTube.
Dream it.
And the internet. They're great things too. So the movie I'm going to talk to you guys about today is called The Princess Bride. Love this movie. It's 1987 American rom-com fantasy adventure film directed by Rob Reiner. And it was adapted by... the novel, also titled The Princess Bride, which was written by William Goldman. So it was presented as a boy who's sick in bed, and his grandpa comes in and starts reading him this book called The Princess Bride. And the boy's like, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to hear a love story, bloody doody da. And it turns out not to be just about a love story. It turns out to be an adventure story about friendship and brotherhood and finding the one and all this other great stuff that happens. So the actors in the film are Peter Falk, Fred Savage, Robin Wright, Carrie Elves, Chris Sherandon, Wallace Shawn, Andre the Giant, and Mandy Patkin. I will never forget this movie. Loved it. It's wonderful. The beginning, As You Wish, was just romantic and lovey-dovey. And then it turns into this great fight scene. My name is Inigo Montoya. You've killed my father. Prepare to die, you know? And it's funny. You go through these phases with this movie where it's like, oh, it's about love. No, it's funny. Oh, no, it's evil. Oh, no, it's love again. It's a great movie. I recommend it highly. It's funny. It's not just a chick flick. Guys, please watch this movie. You'll enjoy it just as much as us girls do.
It was considered a chick flick?
I mean, a lot of guys consider it a chick flick.
What?
But then I also hear a lot of guys that like it too, so.
I thought like sci-fi-ish that everyone likes it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be like a sci-fi-ish thing where everybody likes it. But I feel like it's a lot more of a rom-com. Everybody's like, oh, it's a romantic movie because it has the word princess in it automatically. Girls.
If you see the cover, it does not look like those rom-com things.
Yes, this is very true. I agree with you. Anyways, boys, Princess Bride. Recommend it, please. You'll get to love the Dread Pirate Roberts Fizik, Vinici, and Inigo Montoya. Anyways, that's gonna wrap up my third segment of the night. This is Penguin Radio. You're listening to The Rewind here on Throwback Thursday with DJ Throwback. I'm going to take another short break, and then I'll be back for my final segment. for listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back, time travelers. This is DJ Throwback here. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu with The Rewind on Thursday nights with DJ Throwback. I'm going to head into my final segment of the night. This segment is called This Was My Jam. And this week, I'll be showcasing Allie and AJ. So Allie and AJ is a sister duo girl group. They came around in about 2004 with their debut album, Into the Rush. So this first song I'm going to play for you is called Chemicals React. It was released in 2006, and I love this song. It was amazing. I remember playing it on the all the time, driving with my mom. It would be on Radio Disney. Yes, Radio Disney. I know. I was a Disney kid, okay? Bear with me. So I'd be there, or I'd be listening to it while I was in my room on Disney Channel. Yes, Disney again, Disney kid. So literally, Allie and AJ were just girl power duo. What do you have to say about Allie and AJ, short stuff?
Allie, specifically that song, Chemicals React, I felt really like, cool. I felt like, yeah. You're like a confidence booster.
You make
like,
me
rocket.
Feel bad in my element. You know, that whole song is just about, it's confidence boosting, definitely. And these two girls were like the girl powerhouse. I know, they were like, woo! All about girl power and sisterhood and all sorts of greatness. So I'm going to play for you this song, Chemicals React. This is going to be song number one of the This Was My Jam from Ellie and AJ. So here's Chemicals React.
You make me feel out of my element, like I'm walking on broken glass, like my world's spinning.
Some Ali and AJ for you guys. That was The Chemicals React, which was one of their first singles. So the next song I'm going to play for you is called Potential Breakup Song. It comes from their second album called Insomnia. And so this song hit number 17 on the Billboard charts, and it was released in 2007. Now, some more fun facts about Ali and AJ is that they renamed their band in 2009 after they left Hollywood Records. They renamed the band to 78 Violet. And today they're still on tour and making music, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to play you some more Ali and AJ. This is Potential Breakup Song here on Penguin Radio.
Until she leaves, don't let me go, 'cause without me you know you
This is Penguin Radio back here with DJ Throwback on Throwback Thursday. I'm going to give you guys one more song. This is going to be an Avril Lavigne song. Avril Lavigne was my girl, man. I was hardcore into that whole skater lifestyle. This song was released in 2002 with her album Let It Go. Let It Go. I've got frozen fever. Anyways, Avril Lavigne was my girl. I loved her whole girly punk skater look, and this was my girl anthem, honestly. I was 10 years old, running around screaming about skater boys and being complicated, and Avril Lavigne spoke to me in a way that no other artist did when I was 10. So there's two songs that Avril Lavigne really wrote that I'm going to show you guys. There's Skater Boy, which was released in 02 on her album Let It Go. Let It Go, Liz. Anyways, the second song is Girlfriend, which was released in 2007 on her album The Best Damn Thing. So Avril was actually born in 84 in Ontario. She's Canadian, guys. She's a Canadian.
I like Canadians.
Of course you do, short stuff. So I'm going to leave you with these last two songs by Avril Lavigne. That's pretty much it on my show tonight on The Rewind. This is DJ Throwback. Thank you, DJ Shortstuff, for being here with me this Thursday night on Throwback Thursday.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so I'm going to play you guys some Avril Lavigne. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.